Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Episode 1 of New Scientist from the 27th of October, in which I'll cover some of the following articles. Just so you know, I've just worked out that I should do this introduction thing. Firstly, there'll be a few editorial talks about our brilliant Mr. Trump ripping up a military arms deal and is just an insane person, and the editorial comment about whether eliminating cars is actually a really sensible thing and that we're just sort of locked in our view. There's an article after that on Greek nerve agents stuff. It's a bit of a questionable article about whether they can use drones and various things. I think in practice it's a waste of time. It's my overall view. The overall view. But there's iron diffusion spectrometers, which are interesting. The Chinese longest sea bridge is covered. Some of the numbers I sort of calculate and hurt my head a bit. Another article about the US to pull out of the nuclear treaty. Scientists realizing that Brexit is going to really hurt science, and it is interesting that science moves forward with wars and treaties and famine and all this type of stuff. Interesting story about the probe going to Mercury, and that's a bit of a brain thing. I think they've got the idea they won't need energy transfer, energy, a whole lot of energy things coming through. And it's sort of like the reverse slingshot effect. It's very interesting to think about how that goes. There's a really wacky article full of problems about whether a AI car will kill a pregnant doctor who's committing a crime. You know, what do you do, or do you save a cat? All this type of stuff is really deeply, deeply confused. It should be shot at birth. Computers made from cytoskeletons. Another super fascinating thing. Do cytoskeletons communicate inside a cell? This is So bear in mind, at school, you're not taught about cytoskeletons. So you're behind. You're not taught about quantum mechanics. Not taught about all these things, but eventually you do understand it. People in the field do understand it, sort of like this classy stuff. But is there something else? Is there something else beautifully quantum mechanically? These cytoskeletons, is this just something amazing? It just hurts my head to even think about it. So this will be the start. After this, you'll hear the rest of the podcast as I read it. Thanks for listening. New Scientist, 27th of October. The actual New Scientists have arrived slightly out of order. So I've read the 3rd of November. This is the 27th of October. And we start with the editorial from Emily Wilson. End of an agreement. There's a picture of Gorbachev and Reagan signing away. The world can ill afford a debilitating new arms race. Now, I couldn't agree more. On the 20th of October, Donald Trump announced that the US intends to leave the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. See page 5. The treaty was signed by Mikhail Gorbachev and Ronald Reagan in 87, pictured above, destroyed a whole class of smallish ground-launched missiles, in many ways the most destabilizing and dangerous of the lot. Just as the world requires a massive rechanneling of resources towards reinventing industry, agriculture, and energy to combat climate change, a new expensive arms race looms. The US complains that Russia has probably broken the treaty by building the things, and China has a few hundred of them too. Maybe justifies, but the US can easily defend against either threat with similar missiles launched from air or sea. The hopes for a diplomatic resolution are thin, a diminished Russia seeing a treaty a symbol of its Cold War defeat. It is the only too glad to see the US getting the blame for ripping it up. The US National Security Advisor John Bolton is fanatically opposed to the arms treaty that restricts the freedom of US to act unilaterally. Oh dear. Results could be far-reaching. If the treaty goes, the remaining big nuclear treaties that limit global proliferation could go too. That would end all international weapons inspections and free other countries, including Saudi Arabia and Iran, to weapon up. And if nuclear weapons, why not chemical and biological weapons too? See page 4. On nukes, Trump calls on everyone to get smart and not develop these horrible weapons. In the same breath, he is pledging $1.4 trillion developing new ones. His actions seem to stem from the ideology that we will only be safe when everyone has a gun, writ large, but anything but a smart move. Next part, and I like these editorials are in two bits. Cars, the new tobacco. Cars have become so embedded in our cityscapes that we rarely stop to question whether they really need to be there. But as congestion soars and the huge effects of air pollution on our health become clear, it's more decontamination showers are effective. While overhead drone, used iron mobility spectrometer to map how far the chemical had spread. The blowing of the drone, I just find that just insane. Especially, one of the things I really think would be good is if drones high up can winch down a detector, then that's a bit more useful, I think. You've got eyes and ears on the ground. Extraordinary detail has never been available to incident commanders before, said Thomas, lead scientist of toxic triage and Loughborough University, UK. Well, you're out of it. After Brexit, all the technologies developed by the projects have been designed to have other uses too, otherwise they would be seldom used. The breath analysis kit could be used in hospital for detecting intoxication from alcohol, date rape drugs, or pesticides, for example. The tool worked well on the day, but there were problems. One of the main lessons from the trial is that tools need to be easier to use when wearing protective equipment. I'll tell you what, I think I've only did one exercise in those big heavy plastic biochem suits. Oh, just disgusting. Especially the stink. You put on someone else's suit. Oh, God, it's awful. You're sweltering hot. You have sweat running down your face. Your gas mask fogs up. You need better ways of enabling them to use that kind of kit, says Thomas. The toxic triage team is now analysing the data collected during the exercise to calculate how to best deal with the casualties in this scenario. Preparation of biological and chemical attacks has got a lot of attention after 9/11, but has been neglected recently, says Adja. I think the threat is still there and maybe even getting larger. Well, maybe or maybe not. The world's longest sea bridge, and this is just a phenomenal bridge. It was a bit sad. Is this a sea bridge? I didn't think it was in the sea. It was necessarily a delta. Okay. China's new mega bridge was officially opened 23rd of October by President Xi Jinping. The 55-kilometre long structure is the longest overseas bridge in the world and took 9 years to build. It crosses the Pearl River estuary to connect the Chinese mainland to Hong Kong and Macau. It is 20 times the length of the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge. The bridge becomes an underwater tunnel that's the 7-kilometre section, so the ships can cross and planes can take off from the nearby airport in Hong Kong. My issue, this is all geopolitics, isn't it? But is there 55 kilometres including a tunnel? Or do you actually break it up? Or, maybe big question. About 400,000 tonnes of steel were used in the project, equivalent to 8 times the amount used to build the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Which is not a lot, because this bridge is less than a kilometre across, it's 55, so what is it? Yeah. The structure is supported by pillars embedded in the sea floor, cables hanging from giant towers, and two artificial islands. According to the engineers, it should be able to withstand a magnitude 8 earthquake, a super typhoon, or a collision with a 300,000-tonne ship. 300,000-ton ship would be a massive ship, because that's just a bit under the amount of the total iron that's in the bridge. The project has been criticised for the deaths of 10 workers and feared impacts on the local white dolphins. Of course, the Chinese would never do anything. Only 47 of them are still in the area, down from 188 in 2003. That's quite a lot. China is also the home of the world's longest bridge of any kind, the 164-kilometre-long Dankeschön Grand Bridge, which crosses the water between Shanghai and Nanjing. That's amazing. Which 164 kilometres, that would take days to cross. Of course, there wouldn't be a pedestrian access on that for sure. Oh, God. US to pull out of the nuclear treaty, question mark. Donald Trump, yay, go Donald, told reporters this week that the US will pull out of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Force, the INF, treaty, saying both Russia and China possess missiles it bans. While China is part of the treaty, so Russia is part of the China isn't. So, yes. The latter's small but growing nuclear armory consists of entirely of intermediate range missiles, however, and Trump may be trying to force a three-way talks, whatever he's doing. The INF treaty bans US or Russian ground-launched missiles with ranges between 480 and 5,500 kilometres. My God, that's a long distance, that one. If you set one up in Australia, you could do most of the cities. It is one of the only two remaining treaties imposing verified limits on US and Russian nuclear forces, which together hold 92% of all nukes. Experts fear that if the treaty goes, the New START treaty, which limits big long-range nuclear weapons, could go too. Since 2008, the US has charged that Russia prototypes cruise missiles violates the NIF treaty. Only if they're armed, mate. Russia, in turn, charges the US armed drones do, as do missile defence launchers installed in Romania, which would launch medium-range Tomahawk missiles offensively. These issues could be resolved with inspections, but raid sanctions would make that difficult. Okay. I think this is actually mad, because if you limit it to conventional weapons, I think it is actually sensible, because a nuclear weapon, you can do a large amount of strategic damage. I don't know. But nuclear weapons are just so difficult now in a spread. Like if you've got conventional army set up, a nuclear weapon can block them. I think the US is actually best forcing, not letting people have nuclear weapons. Okay, scientists call for Brexit's cooperation. Leading scientists from across Europe have written to the UK and EU is urging them to agree on a Brexit deal that preserves scientific cooperation. The letter was signed by 29 Nobel laureates, including Venki Ram, whatever he is, President of the Royal Society. He winners of six fields medals and the biggest prizes. According to the site, the UK received €8.8 billion out of the total of €707 billion research grants between 2017 and 2013. So that's $1 billion-ish. Many of the largest grants are given to consortiums that span countries. Quote, wow, that's a really head thing. Is that directly to UK or in fractions? Creating new barriers to such ease of collaboration will inhibit progress to the detriment of us all. That says the Francis Crick Institute, that's the main one, a medical research centre in London, revealed this week that 78% of its EU scientists working there said they would be less likely to stay in the UK after Brexit. Well, I don't think that means, majority of scientists are less likely to stay where they are if they're mobile. Taking the scenic route to Mercury, the Bepi Colombo spacecraft is on its way to Mercury after a successful launch from French Guiana on the 20th of October. So, it is actually surprisingly hard to launch something that has got high potential energy, goes into the sun, low potential energy, speeds up, but then you want to have it in an orbit because the The escape velocity is the square root of 2gm on r, but the actual orbital velocity is gm on r, the square root of gmr. So you actually got a 40% loss. You've got to get rid of 40% of the energy. I wonder how they do it. Okay. The joint mission of the European Space Agency and the Japanese Aerospace Exploration Agency aims to probe some of Mercury's mysteries, such as the odd magnetic field, weird pools of ice, and hollows unlike anything we have seen on other planets. So this is a big thing. So it's sort of like Mercury is gravitationally locked as it goes around. I don't know whether the pools of ice are all that weird. As far as I'm concerned, it'd be interesting why it would be weird. The odd magnetic field, I think it's a fossilized magnetic field. Oh, well, I don't know, with the coarse molten, I have to understand. But before Belly Combo can do that, it has to get to Mercury, a Herculean task because of the Sun's powerful gravity. To avoid flying right past Mercury and falling into the Sun, it's got to lose that thing all. The craft will take an ascending route. It will loop back on Earth once, Venus twice, and Mercury six times to get the energy it needs to orbit around Mercury. I think the story is it's got to lose the energy. If all goes well, Belle Bongo will reach final destination in December 2025. It's hard to know what they're talking about there. Okay, getting on to a story by Chelsea White. In a crash, whose life would you spare? This is the classic thing. This is AI, driverless cars, you getting killed. You get a story out of that every time. So it's a Taffich classic. Was it Trolley? The Trolley Man? There's someone with an electric trolley and he can kill his trolley bus of all his passengers if he can save someone else. My mental thing is that the amount of engineering to reduce a risk. Say you've got an ethical situation, right, and you want to get nine correct decisions out of 10 incidences. Now, and you want to improve that, from 8 to 9 out of 10. The actual best way of machining, of doing the total amount of wrong decisions, I don't know if I'm making this right, is actually improve the efficiency and the detection systems by a factor of 2. You do that and you've reduced the total amount of wrong I don't know if I'm putting that correct. You've achieved the amount of wrong decisions by a certain way. And the AI is really expensive to power up. Okay, a self-driving car is travelling along a two-lane road when it brakes fail. Okay. Should it stay in the lane and hit a pregnant woman, a doctor, and a criminal or a pedestrian crossing? Right, I'm just trying to get in my head. A pregnant woman, a doctor, a criminal on a pedestrian crossing, or swerved and hit a barrier, killing a family of four in the vehicle. Well, the family of four who's probably paying for it will obviously have arrived. This is a derivative of the classic trolley problem. It's the kind of scenario that makes up the moral machine experiment, an ethics survey of millions of people from 233 countries and territories around the world. Okay, I don't know how you actually get that number of countries and territories. So I'm just trying to compute all that. And of course, you don't have to do this. You say, what would humans do? And what would humans do? Participants were asked, and that's the other thing, is at what stage do you flag this in? Obviously, when it is safer than humans driving, is, say, a factor of 3 times safer than human drivers. It then flips, it becomes immoral to have humans driving. Participants were asked, sort of like, although surgery's okay, it's actually illegal for someone who's not trained to do it. It's all these things. Participants were asked to consider different scenarios of those who might be saved. Could be, say, fit or fat, young or old, pets, criminals, or those with high status jobs. In all, 40 million decisions were collected. Oh, I don't know. This is just, my overall thing is that you've got an AI car and it's driving along. It might be able to tell you that's a criminal. It might be able to tell you that that's a, what, a doctor. It's very unlikely to tell it's a doctor. What's the other person? Well, a criminal. It could be a criminal doctor. It could be a pregnant. It's pretty amazing that the woman could be a doctor and a criminal at the same time. A pregnant criminal doctor. Yeah, okay. Overall, people preferred to spare humans over animals and younger over older people. Oh, gee, I hate this type of thing. The characters that people opted to save least were dogs, followed by criminals, then cats. Oh, that's a cute story. Yeah, cats. Edmund Awad of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and his colleagues think that the finding can inform policymakers and experts. They may rely on these device regulations for driverless cars. This is one way to deliver what the public wants, he says. Oh, God, this hurts me reading this article. The team found that people in the regional clusters made similar decisions. Oh, God. In the Eastern cluster, which included Islamic countries and East Asian nations that belonged to Confucian cultural groups. Okay, not the Islamic countries, but the Asian countries, there was less of a preference to spare young over old, or to spare those of high status. Decisions, I can't see this as driver's cars, it just doesn't get to me. Decisions to save humans ahead of cats and dogs were less pronounced, as in southern clusters, such as included Central and South America, and countries of French influence. The preference was to spare women and fit people. Many technology researchers and ethicists told New Scientist they thought the results shouldn't be used to set policy or design autonomous vehicles because they would simply perpetuate cultural biases that may not reflect moral decisions. I think so. This is so confused. Quote, the fact that there are some cultural patterns should not surprise us, but that is nothing to do with the fact that something is right or wrong, says ethicist Peter Stevens at DePaul University in Chicago. The instinct to save women and children, for example, is rooted in patriarchal views of these groups having less autonomy and therefore deserving rescue, he says. We end up having these debates because we are anthropomorphizing AI. But ethics related to transport isn't part of just about self-driving cars, says Jonah Bryson of the University of Bath. We already make decisions and trade-offs about road use and don't always result in the highest safety for the greatest number of people. I would say that for sure. This is interesting. SUVs are twice as likely to kill anybody you hit, and yet we accept they are part of your culture. Yeah, I really do think so. We could actually... Australia, we've done policing... cars, drivers, all this type of things. It's, yeah. I think we could do so much more if you wanted to. Programming morality into an algorithm may be impossible, especially if the coders and the general public don't act ethically as a whole, says Stevens. Then the dream of finding the right moral algorithm is just absurd as finding the right comedic parabola, or the right colour of dance. Or the right frequency of spaghetti. Isn't that beautiful? Now, that person is such a lovely person. Have you found the right frequency of spaghetti? It's just... I would thoroughly agree. It's such a stupid, stupid piece of research. How do you ever get money to do it? It's just real folk logic. Computers make skeletons, makes... cell computers made from cell skeletons. It's all like, I bet they'll only get one transistor, and say, oh, I can make a computer out of this one. Building a computer from a skeleton that holds our cells together, cytoskeletons. This will be the tubulin cytoskeletons. This is something that people really don't know about, and it just drives me batty teaching it. You teach a cell and the diagram doesn't have cytoskeleton. And it's just insane. And the tubulin is so interesting, the tubulin and what's the other fibers here. There's another fiber, there's tubulins, but there's also similar to tubulins, and then there's those walking cells, so much interest in the cells. Okay, now to encourage the development of such computers, Andre Ameske of the University of West England and UK colleagues have developed a theoretical foundation for computing with cytoskeletons. So they haven't actually done it, they've actually decided to actually work out what we could do with cytoskeletons. The protein-based scaffolds that gives the cells their shape or movement and stuff like that. Cytoskeletons are constructed from several different elements, including, elements actually mean elements in this area, including 25 nanometer wide tubes made of a protein called tubulin. There's actually a huge variety of diameters, because each different cells has a different amount. And a 6 nanometer wide filament made from a protein called actin. Okay. These structures also distribute information in the form of patterns of atoms, electrons, and ions, allowing communication between parts of the cell. Let's read that one question. These structures also distribute information in the form of patterns of atoms, electrons, and ions, allowing communication between parts of the cell. So we new scientists by Douglas Heaven are being told that the cell can communicate down the actin elements as a type of electric wiring. Well, this is something new. I've never heard of this. So I know the cells, but the idea that these things can actually communicate charge, that is a fascinating idea. That is, so you've got all this actin element, and it can. It sounds plausible that you could actually, that these things could carry charges through them, like electricity. That would be fascinating. I'd have to ask a mate whether that's at all true. Okay, by forcing these patterns to combine in various ways, it's possible to perform simple computation. Yes, darling, I'll be there soon. This would essentially reproduce the basic units of digital computers called logic gates. Ameske and his colleagues have pulled all this together into an overall concept for the first time. They argue that cytoskeleton devices have the advantage over ones made of DNA, another form of biological calculator that some people think could supercharge computers. So DNA obviously is the ultimate, is actually a computer and actually does store information. It is essentially a computer. But I could well imagine that tubulin can act as communication. You could actually, I'm surprised if it didn't. It just hurts my head to think about it. Okay. Because that sort of makes sense to me that it does, but, okay. DNA is good at storage, but poor at processing signals. No, well, this is processing signals. The things sticking are at process signals. So, Zambassi, tubulin and actin are also less complex than DNA, making them easier materials to work with. DNA is actually pretty simple with the phosphate, the deoxyribose sugar, and the base. But Ross King at the University of Manchester, who has worked on DNA computers, is sceptical. He thinks it may be difficult to get the signalling mechanisms of the cytoskeleton computers to perform digital computations at the atomic level. He agrees with Amos that silicon days are numbered. However, we have reached a point where the single supercomputer consumes the same amount of energy as 1,000 households, says King. That's not scalable. Okay, so there is some new information here, which I've never came across before. I think it's completely mad. It's poorly expressed. But what does it mean I've got a cytoskeleton and I can actually communicate through it? There's something bizarre. Okay, that finishes this one. Okay, I'll stop.
podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.